We're still studying exchanging gods. Let's go back to Genesis 6, just to get it in order. This is just before the flood. In verse 5 of Genesis 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." As we've talked about, your heart doesn't have thoughts, your mind has thoughts. But here, it just means the being. The being that can't be seen, the part of you that can't be seen. Let's go to Genesis 8. Verse 21. This is after they're leaving the ark. Verse 20, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So the idea, because of the fall, your heart is evil above all things. And that's why we have to exchange gods. Now let's go to Jeremiah 17, I think. Pardon?
We have to exchange hearts.
No, we have to exchange inner beings. Oh, no wonder. I was looking at John in the wrong chapter. Verse 9, chapter 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins and give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to let's go to let's go to Isaiah 30. No, that's not that. We already studied that. Let's go to Romans 2. No, we don't want to do that. Romans 5. And this is a whole deal that goes on. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by its sin, so death passed upon all men.
Where are you reading?
Huh?
Where are you reading?
Romans 5.
What verse?
Let's start in verse 12. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then we go down to well, let's just read it. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed to them when there is no law. Remember, God, the way God is always from the beginning trying to create a situation in which his bride, the bride of Christ, would come forth. And so initially we had Adam and Eve, the pair, and they were to be transformed in starting because of innocency. And then innocency would be transformed by a series of tests. But Adam was told to name the names, and once he named the names, he had the capacity. He and Eve both had the capacity to see separation, because when you name something, you feel separate from it. So it was the loss of innocence. That's what happened at the fall. And now, Then he tested without the law. Then he tested with one family. In each case, man failed the test. And he finally, at the last, he tested man when Jesus, before he was ascended, he breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples as the last test. And what did the disciples do? Seven of them left their discipleships and went back to their old ways of life. They went fishing. They didn't just go fishing like you and I would go. They went back to their lives as fishermen. And so that was the final test. Even after we killed Christ, there was still, he gave us one more chance. Now, we have to stop here. Do you believe that you killed Christ? Or is that too far of a stretch? So everybody believes it. That had we been there, we would have killed him. That's a pretty heavy thing to say.
Have been silent or a young Christian?
Well, it's, be silent.
Same thing. Yeah.
It's the same thing. You were giving silent permission to crucify him. Now, we hear all kinds of, again, everything that God has done from the beginning of creation was about the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride. God so loved the world, God so loved the bride that he gave his son. But we think, it's common in modern religion, to think that God so loved us that he gave his bride, he gave his son. So he killed his son in order so that you could, that ain't going to happen, that never happened. But that's what modern religion believes. God so loved the world that he, but no, I mean, it's, this one gets me worked up, so forgive me if I get worked up. But you've heard preachment after preachment that God so loved you, or Christ so loved you, that he died. A terrible, horrible death. Well, that's not true. If God permitted his son to be dead so that you could live without dying, then we have a false religion. And we've talked about it many times, but the most popular form of Gnosticism was they believed they were accepted by God without dying, without themselves seeing themselves as dead. And this is the most common belief in modern Christianity. But that makes God kind of weird. Anyway, we could spend all day on that. In verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, or the parable, or the pattern. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, is the bounded unto many. And not as if... And not as if was by one that sinned, so is the... I didn't understand that. Let's go on. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemn to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, remember, we got these three words that are almost used interchangeably in preachments, but it's sin, transgression, and what? What's the third one?
Iniquity.
Sin, transgression, and iniquity.
Trespass, that's right.
Trespass with transgression. But the only way that transgression or sin became possible was because of the falls. And that's what iniquity is. Then what's sin then? Sin is no longer, it's not what you do, sin is who you are. And then transgression is what sin does. So that's the three, iniquity, sin, and transgression.
Trespass is what we're going to say.
Well, it's the same thing. It's trespass and transgression are the same word in Greek.
Okay, all right.
So, do you understand? If you understand that you're the evil one, but your number is 666, then you can understand why you have to die. Because there's no hope. You can't be saved as long as you're not dead. The resurrection comes only after death. But the modern religion teaches that that resurrection comes on everybody almost, as long as they say, "Hi, Jesus." But listen, now this is where it gets, this is emphasized. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in the fall of man that produced the sin, which is who you are? Shall you continue in who you are? That grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, as I've said so often, if your baptism wasn't your burial, you didn't get baptized. You just got wet. And then read the next one. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. It's pretty clear. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of his resurrection. In the likeness of, really, we'll be of his resurrection, or we'll be of the resurrection. But you have to first be planted in his death before you can partake of his resurrection. You were buried in baptism. So by being buried in baptism, then, and by then the resurrection, then you've exchanged God. You're no longer sin anymore because you have died. But you can't die because you said you died. You died when you died. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth, we should never again, no longer serve sin. We should never serve the evil one. Now Christ, if Christ is our resurrection, we live by faith alone. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why? Because it originates in he who sins, or he who is sin. Now you can go back and visit every once in a while just to find out, to test you in a way, but you cannot justify your mind staying alive in any way. But if it is, that's just another opportunity for repentance. Now, do you understand why repentance means, and its total meaning means, the acceptance of your death? But it has to be total. You can't be just a little bit dead. And you have to live by faith. Now, there's no question that to live by faith is the scariest thing there is. Until you see it. And then it's the easiest thing there is. Because you can no longer give any more importance to the evil one. Unless you don't understand that your mind is the evil one. If you don't believe your mind is the evil one, is 666, then you'll never hear. You'll always try to figure out a way where you can stay alive. That's its job. That's the evil one's job, because it's doing the will of God. So that you would finally come to a place where you live by faith alone, where you truly have exchanged gods without any visiting privileges to the old one, to the old God. The old God is the evil one. He is the instead of Christ. He is the Antichrist. And he has set himself up in the temple of God. You are the temple of God. Showing himself that he's God, because he judges for himself good and evil, right and wrong. Instead of living by faith alone. So here is the final separation, the final acceptance of the death of the old God, which is you living your life as you think you should, to the new God, which is Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Well, that's the penultimate. That's the thing. So you no longer worry about what you know. Everything becomes different. You've forgotten, neglected everything old. You no longer live by any means of the things that you used to rely on. Because that's the things you rely on instead of God. Anything you rely on instead of God is mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. All right, let's go to Ephesians 2. Let's start this first great prayer in Ephesians. Start in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you in the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's the only thing you gain, is the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. It's never your calling, it's his calling. And what the riches of the glory of, not your inheritance, his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now the only way you can understand the word believe is that you've transferred gods. Otherwise, the word believe means something like, well, I believe the light's on and I believe in Jesus. That's not what... We've gone through that many times. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or in the heavenlies. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and hath gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. And then this is where we wanted to get to. And you hath he quickened. And every time the word quickened or quick is used, it means made alive. Who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, this is children of disobedience who became believers but returned to the world. He doesn't even talk about the children of unbelievers, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So as long as you're still living as if you were still in the world, then you're living, you've rebuilt the thing that you've destroyed. So you haven't exchanged gods. You went back to the old ways. And I did. I confess it. I did it many times. But there has to be a time when you see yourself as dead. And dead means dead. No part of you is ever used again. Amen? All right, well, that's the fruit of exchanging gods. Now we can understand why it says these incredible things. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the word love is a verb. Means give importance to. All of us were friends of the world. I was a friend of the world in the name of God. After I became a believer, I tried that out for a while. It didn't work too well. I think I had to be electrocuted so that I wouldn't think that everything my mind thought was something from God. I was still doing the same thing I did. It wasn't in the world. All right.
I have a comment here. A few months ago, I had parathyroid surgery. And when they went in to do the surgery, which they were just going to take part of the parathyroid out, they found it was so inextricably connected with my thyroid that they had to take a third of my thyroid out to get it away, get it out. Well, we're talking about by faith we are justified by faith. While you're talking about exchanging gods, and I saw this thing about faith and the idea of this total the roots of this parathyroid were so deep into the thyroid that it all had to be cut out.
Yeah.
And separated from.
Yeah.
And without that, the operation would have been not successful. It's the same thing in this death. We are inextricably tied to the old man with roots and veins and blood and all this stuff. But then it says being justified by faith. And I saw faith in a different light this morning, where faith is when it's it's operated on, it's removed from, and the old man and the new man are separated completely by death, and the new man is a separate entity that God gives life to, but he has no interest in the old. It is in the grave.
Amen.
And it puts some new meat onto how strong the word faith is, in that it completely separates you from the old man, and then that we're justified because we have been separated from the old and into Jesus Christ, wherein is justification.
Amen.
So it's clean.
And as you said, it's total.
It's total, yeah.
But the test, I mean, and finally you see it as this, or we all see it finally, I pray, that the reason that the test is so subtle and so difficult is that we always try to keep our ways of doing things in the picture. And that test, the subtlety of that, is so strong that we get seduced. And that's why, when you're about the new, it's if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, and you know, there's two words for time. He's a new creature, not in time. That would have been Kairos. He's a new creature in that he's a new being, a new, totally new thing that has no more to do with Adam and Eve. He's new in not just time, he's new in genus and order and all those other words I forgot about being a separate. He's no longer, you know, it's and there's none of that which was of the past can continue. Because now, because it's of him, we live by faith alone. And that's the one that becomes difficult, because every day we find out another thing we're doing that is not a faith, for me it was anyway, maybe you're different, but you find out so many things that you've done as automatics, and then for a long time you think that's faith. Well, I did, maybe you don't, but until I began to see that I had nothing to do with my mind anymore, because that was part of the old man, then a different way of looking at it comes into being. But maybe it was easier for you, but for me it was almost constant repentance. I never counted them. It would have been hundreds of times a day. Anyhow,
it's like a butterfly trying to get life out of a cocoon.
Yeah.
It's not a living thing. There's no life in it.
And that has to be, we have to see that that's why baptism is so critical.
Yeah.
And that's why there's no, can't be any such thing as infant baptism. You can be a covering for an infant, but if you think that baptizing an infant, and then you say later in life, well, I've already been baptized. No. You just got, they just sprinkled water on you. You got a little wet. All right, take it, big guy.